Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. For the better part of, 6 weeks now, we have been talking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, who has a master's in Christian studies. And we've been talking about what the judgment day, our own individual judgment day, may look like. We've been looking at focusing on what it will look like based on three parables in Matthew. The first was the parable of the 10 virgins, about the importance of maintaining your relationship with your personal relationship with God and keeping it refueled to make sure it's always you're always refueling it and keeping that relationship strong. The parable of the 10 talents. God's given us gifts, given us talents, abilities. What are we doing with those talents to help glorify Him? And the last one is the parable of the judgment, or the parable of the sheep and goats. What have we done to help other our mankind, and in terms of I suppose you know those who how you treat the least of me is how you treat me. The least of yourselves is how you treat me, is what God says. In other words, if you take care, if you do what you can to help those who are real suffering, then you're helping me and you're doing it for me. If you're not doing anything for them, it means you're not doing anything for me. So you're a goat and you go to hell. If you're a sheep and you've been doing that, you go to heaven. That basically sums it up the best I can do it. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most difficult discussions that that I think all Christians have, because we talk about hell, and when you get into a discussion or a debate with an atheist, they make what seems to be a pretty good case as to how God could not be a loving, compassionate God who would make somebody suffer. And we're not talking about just not coming into heaven. It's a punishment based on the Bible of eternal torment. And why any is that the kind of type of God that somebody would want to have? And I don't mean any disrespect to our Lord, but I don't want to literally play the devil's advocate here, because I think that because even Jesus himself, I think, seemed to welcome a doubting Thomas and said, okay, I want to be able to hear what you say.
Yeah, we have to be authentic with our Lord and bring all of our doubts to him.
Okay, and so is it fair to at least ask these questions to begin
Absolutely.
With?
Absolutely. Ask them now. Get them answered now.
Okay, so I say, God, I mean, okay, here's one of the troubling aspects I say. My sons disobey me frequently. Hopefully not too frequently. Once in a while they do. There is nothing that my sons could do to me. Nothing that would allow me to say, I'm going to cast you off and put you in hell. There's nothing that my sons can do. So I would say, God, with great reverence, I ask, if I couldn't do this to one of my sons, no matter what he did to me, no matter how he disobeyed me, because I do not want to see somebody suffer like that, to one of my sons, how could you do that to me if I myself wouldn't do it to my son? I think Christians ask that question too.
Sure.
It's a hard one.
First thing I'd say is read a lot of C.S. Lewis, because he's answered that question in a lot of, The Great Divorce. Mm-hmm. Read The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. He tackles that very issue. And a lot of other people down through the ages have talked about that issue. But let's just, first of all, let's look at what the parable itself says. Mm-hmm. This is Matthew 25. And I'm just going to read the very first part here on verse 41. Then he, meaning Jesus Christ, will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And that tells me that when we read about the war in heaven in Revelation chapter 12, and how the holy angel, the one-third of the holy angels led by Satan, rebel against God, and they get thrown out of heaven, and they fall down to the earth, and they're very angry, and they're filled with wrath because they know they have but a short time. That tells me that God needed an eternal resting place, if you were, would, for these demons, for these devils, for these rebels who knew him face to face and rejected him. Mm-hmm. Then we know from Genesis that Satan came into the garden and then thought, okay, I'll try to take away, I took away one third of the holy angels, and I'll try to take away as many people as I can. So God allowed this whole issue of free will with his holy angels and with his perfect creation to see who loved him and who didn't love him. Mm-hmm. Because we know one of God's love languages is obedience. Jesus said in John's account, if you love me, obey me. So I have often said to God, Jerry, to answer your question personally, your love is so severe. You are so extreme and extravagant to the extent that you would go to save somebody, which would be to sacrifice his own son. Mm-hmm. And you are so extreme and so severe to the extent you would go to punish those who reject your son. And I just say to him, I don't know much about that kind of love, but I need to find out about it. Because my love is so wishy-washy, it's so compromised, it's so polluted and impure and full of personal motivations and my flesh, that when I am confronted with your love, I am just astounded and speechless.
I am too. I heard one of my favorite preachers this weekend, Erwin, what slips my mind?
Metzer?
Yeah.
Letzer?
Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer.
I love him too.
I love him. We got a break. But I want to share what he was talking about, and it does dovetail into this conversation. Believe me, it does, and it's worth hanging on. So we'll take a quick break. We'll continue our chat with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. By the way, if you want to make an appointment with Gidi or anybody, any counselors there, you're welcome to do that. Their phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448, or go to tgplace.com. We'll continue this discussion after the break.
And Jerry?
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right. There's a seminar coming up, actually a living DVD series over at The Growing Place. It happens on Saturdays throughout the summer from 10 until 11:30. This week's topic this Saturday is anger management. Anger management. It's an hour and a half seminar. Questions will be asked and answered. And if you want to make an appointment, maybe you're having some issues with this. Maybe your husband or your wife or one of your children are having issues with this area. This is a good thing to go to. 1074 East Avenue in Chico. Learn more about it at tgplace.com. tgplace.com. Anger management is the issue today, this Saturday, over at The Growing Place, 10 to 1130 over on East Avenue. Go to tgplace.com or give them a call, 588-0448. Erwin Letzer was the preacher that he's out of Moody's Church in Chicago. He's a strong Lutheranite, it almost seems like. He talks a lot about his admiration for Martin Luther, and I'm Lutheran, so I kind of like him for that reason. Plus, he's an outstanding speaker, and he's talking about the love of God is so tremendous that you can cuss, you can swear at him, you can do anything you want with him. I mean, you can the most vilest things. He reminded us that David, who had an affair and then killed somebody, the husband of the wife that he was cheating on, and God said, this man exemplifies me. I mean, he is so loving, and he repented.
Because he repented.
He repented, yes. But so the tremendous amount of love that he provides, I was moved by the way how he said it, because I can never do justice to his preaching, because he's one of the best there is. But then, as you were saying, it's hard to understand and it's hard to explain when I'm challenged. I can't do it. How it is that God could then do what he does here in this parable of the goats and sheep, and says, I'm, you know, casting you off into eternal punishment. And not because, not necessarily because they did as you said in the previous segment, which you said in the other, the devils were working against God. They were working against him. It sounds like these people, these goats, didn't do, weren't working against God so much as they weren't doing enough to please God. Well, and that's troubling to me.
Well, remember what Jesus said. He who is not against me is for me. He who is not for me is against me. There's no middle ground. If you're not on Jesus's team, you're on the devil's team. If you're not on the devil's team, you're on Jesus's team. There's no other teams. There's two teams.
Well, then it becomes, okay.
So the enemy, how the enemy can work in this is, oh, you've done enough for God. Oh, right. You give a lot at the church. Oh, you have a great personal relationship. Just forget about these poor. Let someone else take care of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one way we can be led astray.
But that's not quite the same. And we like to, we believe that God is a just God and a rational God because he's made in our image. We as a people.
He's not made in our image.
No, we're made
in his image.
I misspoke.
And that's the problem, Jerry. You keep making God in your own image.
No, I didn't mean to do
that. When you said, you know, I wouldn't do that. How can you do that? I wouldn't do that as a father. That's making God in our own image. Mm. It's the other way around. We need to just believe him and figure it out. Arguing with him, believe me, isn't going to work.
Right, that's not,
he's not going to change the rules of the universe because we don't like it.
I think it's trying to understand.
Okay.
It's trying to understand. It's not trying to argue with God. I think it's trying to understand.
See, here's what I see in this parable. Yeah. He is telling us we have personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. You cannot have love without freedom. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just have a robot. You have something that's, you know, that doesn't really know how to love. It just knows how to go through the motions. You cannot have love without freedom, and you cannot have freedom without personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And hell is there to keep, well, C.S. Lewis says it's to keep people from falling forever. Mm-hmm. It's you reach a bottom, you actually reach a bottom.
Do you believe,
but it's to show that we are accountable for our choices.
And you believe hell is a real place.
Absolutely.
Where you feel, people have said that they believe it's in the bowels of the earth. That literally the volcanoes
are
erupt.
It's in a whole other dimension.
You believe it's in another dimension.
We see in Revelation there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with the new creation here, that where the redeemed will be.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a whole, it's a real place. It's a, and so is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real place. Don't fall for the lie that this is all that there is that we can see.
Right. No,
it's not true.
Yeah. Just, you know, and boy, if I've sounded like I've been trying to argue with God or trying to convince God of something that's not true, I'm trying to understand it. Because again, as we started on the show, I love my son so much. Now, by the way, I'm reminded again by our preacher, Erwin Lutzer, would I be able to give up my life for my children? Yeah, I feel pretty confident I'd be able to do that. But could I give up my son's life or anybody else? Not a chance. Not a chance.
Okay, so that shows us how...
The love that God has for us.
The love that God has is way beyond anything.
Anything that we could possibly do. Because I could never, ever even contemplate going anywhere near that.
Yeah.
And for to do that for anybody else.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And yet God was able to do that for us. So when we talk about what God did for us, I think it's we need to remind ourselves in human terms.
Yes.
And that's why I bring this up, is we can only relate to what God sacrificed in giving up his son by relating to it in our human terms.
Mm-hmm.
Could I give up my son's life for the lives of other people? And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for their souls. I couldn't do it.
And
I wouldn't
how
have
about
that strength.
Giving up your son's life for people who will ultimately reject you and your son?
And that's what God did.
Yep.
Right. So
that's his extravagant love.
And I guess what I plead to God is, I says, please understand that I'm trying to understand you by my own human standards.
Heart.
So I look at this and I say, and this is where it gets funny, and where an atheist will say, well, how could...
Well, an atheist wouldn't say anything about God.
All right, well, I've deviated too far.
God bless the atheists and God save them. An atheist, so I know what it's like to be angry at God.
We have one more segment. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Gidi Hansen and I are going to read one more time the second half of the parable of the goats and the sheep. We know about the sheep, the good ones, the goats. Let's just very briefly recap and note again how repetitive it is. Starting with verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.
I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.
Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?
Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.
These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
So in other words, we have to do things. We have to do things to obtain the kingdom of God.
If we have the relationship.
And it starts with the foundation, which
right.
which I am convinced is, I think you're right about this. I was skeptical a little bit, being mm-hmm. a little bit, to be honest with you, but I think you make some very valid points. The it starts with the what mm-hmm. I know what they call it, the oil and the lamps,
the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, my visual is a tank of gas. You got to keep having, mm-hmm. you got to keep putting in the Holy Spirit, which is the tank of gas to keep you going, and so constantly massage that relationship and make it strong.
Just like any relationship.
Right.
No, I mean, it's mm-hmm. got to be current.
Right, right. And I think we were still, wanted to finish up on the idea that, because it is hard to explain to a non-believer, or even to believers, I'm having trouble with it, how God is so loved the world that if somebody rejected him, saying, okay, because we're looking at it from human standards.
Yeah. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce, he talks about this in a beautiful way. He shows in that piece of fiction, which is itself a parable, that those who don't make it to heaven don't even want God. They don't want heaven. Mm-hmm. They are so hung up on themselves and whatever their own issues are, they cannot even see anything or anyone else.
Are we going to be asked things by,
let's
touched
look at
on
the
this.
Parable. I think that's a great question. Uh-huh. In the first parable, there's a shut door and people pounding on it and saying, Lord, Lord, open up. But he says, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. In the second, this is all from Matthew 25. In the second parable of the talents, it says, throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in the last one, it says they will go away into eternal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only dialoguing I see in the talents is where he basically insults God and says that, you're a hard man and you mm-hmm. reap where you haven't sown. And basically says you're unjust and you're hard and I hid the money.
Mm-hmm.
With the goats appear to be very surprised because they say, we never saw you, Jesus Christ, hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you saying we didn't do this for you? And he explains to them, because you didn't do it for the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it for me. And
so,
there's no dialoguing after that.
Right.
It's just like, you're gone.
Uh-huh.
It's frightening, Jerry. We should be frightened when we read this.
Yes.
Be. And I think the American church needs a little bit of the fear of God right about now, because we've become very presumptuous about salvation.
Well, I think you make a very good case for it, particularly these three parables do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about my personal relationship. And after that, it's performance and I don't have to care about it. Mm-hmm. And that's not what love is.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that God will have made up his mind the minute you take your last breath?
I think God, before he created us, because he's outside of time, he saw the choices we would make, the graces he would give, what would be received and what would be rejected and what the final outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't stop loving us, even knowing we're headed in a wrong direction.
Do you think that we actually see God face to, what will it look like?
Yes, I think we see Jesus face to face for sure.
What do you think God looks like?
When you say God, do you mean the Father, the Holy Spirit, or the God in, or the Father?
Well, okay, but paint a picture for me. We're there. What will we see?
I don't know if I will see the face of the Father. I do believe I will see the face of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Because it says we will. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face.
Yeah.
It says in 1 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. So I will see Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I will have definitely an all-in relationship with all of them because my sin will finally be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be out of the world, which has been pulling at me, and away from Satan, who has been pulling at me. So I'll be all in. And you know what, Jerry? Whatever God has in store for me, I just say thank you and hallelujah. And I can't wait. And I don't deserve any of it anyway. So no complaints.
It brings up an interesting question. And hopefully the music doesn't pop up. We have enough time to answer it. The question of purgatory. Do you believe that there's a purgatory?
I believe purgatory is on earth.
I do too.
God puts us through it here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we need to go through.
Yeah,
that's my belief.
Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit more about just where the... Well, we don't need to. We're done.
All right.
Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I want to encourage listeners, seek the Lord and find the answers for yourself.
And read. Do some studying in Matthew.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to tell that with my kids. We're going to be reading that tonight.
All right.
Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. I advise you, if you ever want to talk to Gidi about any of these issues or you have other issues, maybe non-related to religion issues, religious matters, but, you know, maybe some family issues, give her a call. 588-0448. Have a good one, everybody.